So my story is not like the other stories that have been told tonight. I probably should have come to this before I volunteered to actually get up here and tell a story. But when your friend John calls and says, will you tell a story? You say yes, right? That's what friends do. So my story is the greatest love story of all time. It is an epic story, and it can only be told in 4 hours of interpretive dance. I didn't know. As John said, the scene, the time is 1989. Steve has given us our first Mac. Bill has given us Windows. Michael has thrilled us all. We have been to the future and come back. It was an amazing time. It was an amazing time to be alive. And I remember so well, as John said, school, middle of the cornfield. Zoom in a little farther, though, to the chorus room. I spent a lot of time there. We're in the chorus room. It's the first day of the semester for chorus. I'm standing there, and the most beautiful woman I've ever seen walks into the room. Oh, just amazing. Golden blonde hair that, if it weren't for Aquanet, would be blowing in a breeze. But instead is about this tall and weighs what my first car weighed. But amazing, amazing. And she's just standing there talking to one of her friends, and she laughs. Oh, it was like wind chimes tinkling, and her smile was like a supernova. It was amazing. I was intoxicated. I was absolutely, you know, googly eyes, jaw on the floor, tongue hanging out, intoxicated. And I realized I have to make this woman mine. I don't know really what that means, but I have to. She is clearly my destiny, or she wouldn't have walked in to the same room I was in the class that we both have, that she had also signed up for. I was going to be her Prince Charming, and she was going to be my queen. And I have to tell you, as I looked at her, I got this really funny feeling in my stomach. That is how the greatest love story of all time starts. Spoiler alert, Amy really doesn't have much to do with it from this point forward. She's mostly out at this point, but she started the ball rolling. So her name was Amy. She was amazing. And I don't want you to misunderstand. She was everything I said she was. She was beautiful. She had a great smile. She was intelligent. She was so kind. Just a great person. But I was a 16-year-old guy that I'm the 16-year-old version of the guy who just set up a story in the 80s by telling you about two computer companies. Right? Like all the things I could have chosen, that's where I went. I was the 16-year-old guy who talked about destiny and Prince Charming and fairy tale cliches about a relationship with a woman that didn't exist and that I had just literally seen, not even met. So there was not a lot of promise there, but she was great. She was great. And as it turned out, I got to be a trendsetter because I got friend zoned before that was actually a thing. So that was pretty cool, right? Why can't we be friends? All right, we'll be friends. Yeah, so we talked about this later, years later, and as it turned out, funnily enough, she said, you know, I actually would have gone out with you. I really did like you. I mean, it could have happened. And I said, well, what did I have to do different? And she's like, well, number one, you were always so awkward around me. Like, the weird stuff that you did was just borderline creepy. But I looked past it because I knew you were just trying really hard. And she's like, and the second thing you could have done that probably would have sealed the deal is you could have asked. Don't let this charm and experience that I have now fool you. Back in the day, I was a smooth operator. Yeah. As it turned out, though, her friend zone wasn't a bad place to be. She had a lot of great friends. I mean, she was there, but she had a lot of great friends. They were all a year younger than me, but it was a tiny school, so it really didn't matter. So I ended up hanging out with all these people that were a year younger than me, which is where I met Jenny. And Jenny, oh, Jenny. Jenny was unreal. She had the same beautiful, pumped up hair and a great smile and was very kind, was a very, very sweet person. And, you know, I started to get that feeling in my tummy again. But this time it was different because I met Jenny through Amy, so we became friends, right? Friends first. And honestly, that's all I thought it was going to be. I didn't think it was going to go anywhere. I wanted it to, but I was just one of those friends who sort of hung around and helped her out, did nice things for her. She didn't take advantage, though. You know, we were just genuinely friends. So we were sitting at her friend Jen's house, different Jen. So this is the thing. It was a small town, but we had Jennifer's to spare. Like, everybody could have had a Jennifer. Yeah, I just had one that I wanted, but there were plenty to choose from. Yeah. So we're sitting in Jen's kitchen, and I'm helping her with her math homework, right? So I was pretty good at math. I was in the math club, so I honestly don't know why the women weren't lined up around the block to get a little bit of the Dan, but they weren't. So I'm just being honest. So I'm helping her with her her math homework, and this particular, I don't remember what it was, but whatever it was that we were working on, it was she was having a really hard time just understanding it. And I could have just given her the answer, but that's not going to help her, right, long term. That's not going to do anything for her. So I'm trying to actually help her so she knows how this works. So I'm like pulling out all these analogies, which, by the way, I think that's where it started. I'm still really good at that today. Like, I can find 50 ways to explain something, like how to leave your lover. Paul Simon calls me, right? Like, hey, I need 50 more, man. Like, I got them. I'll just tell you how they've left me, and then we're good, right? You got a whole nother song, sequel. So I'm helping her. I get her this answer, right? I help her get to the point where she can understand it. And she's elated. And unbeknownst to me, that's where our love story started. I didn't know for about two more weeks, right? I was in the dark, but I found out later that's when it began. So right there in the kitchen of Jen Glenn's house over a math textbook, which is pretty fun. So, yeah, so good time. So fast forward back to the chorus room. I told you I really did spend a lot of my life there. So we're back in the chorus room, and we're there for an event, right? So it's like this. There's students and parents, the place is packed. There's all kinds of people in there, and we're all sitting next to each other. I'm sitting next to Jenny. I'm sitting next to her, and our parents are around, lots of people are around, and I think we were talking about a trip that we were going to be taking as a chorus. I don't know, whatever, it doesn't matter. But there were a lot of people. That's the important part. So are we all together, a lot of people? All right. So she reaches down and sort of brushes my hand and holds it. Electricity up and down, right? Up, and I'm just like, and I know everybody's looking at me because I can feel my hair, like when you touch one of those electric balls, it's wah. I know everybody in that place is staring at me like, Woodman, what is going on over there? I'm like, oh, just hold my hand. I'm so excited. And I'm just like, I hope she knows that's my hand, right? Like, I hope that's not an accident. So she's holding my hand, and I am literally, I got chills, right? It's amazing. And at that moment, I think to myself, there's nothing in life that can give me more excitement than this, right? There's nothing I can do that's ever going to be more pleasurable than holding this girl's hand. And then she kissed me. Now, not right there, because the place was packed, right? Her parents were there. But it wasn't long after that, and she did, and it was unreal and amazing and breathtaking and life-changing, this is my first love. So we became a couple, and it was awesome. And we were one of those legendary couples like Romeo and Juliet or Lucy and Desi or Rachel and Ross, right? A couple that can only have good things in their future, right? Yeah, that kind of couple. So we became this couple, and she introduced me to her friends. And I knew some of them a little bit through Amy, but she had a little bit different circle of friends. And I met these guys, Jamie and Andy and John. And Jamie and Andy and John were great because they were as geeky as I was. Like, literally, we got together and played computer games and Dungeons and Dragons. And boy, I know, I just make myself sound more and more awesome, don't I? Easy, ladies, easy. So we got together, we played board games, we played Dungeons and Dragons, it was amazing. It was great. When I wasn't hanging out with them, I was hanging out with her. And when I wasn't with her, I was with them. In fact, Andy and Jamie got a job at the same grocery store I worked at so that we could all hang out even more and get paid for it, which was double awesome. It was great. So for the first time in my life, I had an amazing girlfriend and I had a posse. I mean, like, life was awesome, right? was so good. And honestly, I thought it was going to be like that forever. I thought it was going to be Dan and Jenny forever. And, you know, you're in high school, so you think, oh, man, this is going to last forever. But time moves on because that's sort of what time does. And I graduated and I went away to school, but I didn't go very far because I didn't want to get too far away to drive home to see Jenny. And literally in college, that's what I lived for, was driving home to see Jenny. And I did it every weekend. And nothing will help your college career more or get you better grades than leaving every weekend and driving an hour and a half one way to see your girlfriend and then driving back, you know, at 2 a.m. on Sunday night because you couldn't bear to leave her. So lost my scholarship. Goodbye scholarship, hello coming back home from college. And that was okay with me because Jenny was home, right? So I was coming back to her, woo! So we talked about getting married. And I thought, man, we should get married, right? Well, I mean, we love each other, we should get married. And I thought, I have to ask her dad. That's the kind of thing you do when you're gonna get married. I mean, it's my first time, I assume that's what you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to ask her dad. So I decided I'm gonna ask her dad. Her dad works nights, so I go to her house and I'm there in the morning waiting for him when he comes home from work after working the night shift. I just want to make sure we're all clear on that. So we're sitting at the kitchen table. He walks in. I expect he's going to stop and talk to us, but he doesn't. He just kind of blows past us. I'm like, well, he's probably going to go up, take a shower, right? Get, you know, come back down, sit down with us. But he doesn't come back down. So I'm like, well, I guess I better go up because for whatever reason, I feel like, well, it's got to happen right now. Surely I can't wait until a better time than when he had just gotten off work. I got to do it right now, right this second. It's in my head. I got to do it now. So I go up there and I knock on the door. What? I'm like, hey, Tom, can I talk to you for a minute? Come in. That's a good sign. So I open the door. He's already in bed. He is in bed, shirtless, only has a pair of boxer shorts on, has the sheet laid over him, sits up in bed without his glasses on, looking all bleary-eyed, and he says, what? So, of course, you know what I have to do. I ask him. For a smart guy, I did some dumb stuff. Needless to say, he said no, right? No, that's a hard pass. Keep moving, boy. Yeah, so we very, very briefly talked about, like, running away together, but we decided that would be a bad idea. And then, like, a month later, she graduated high school. So, yeah, you know, she's still in high school at this point, so good decisions were being made left and right. Yeah. So I thought maybe we were going to go away somewhere together, like she was going to go to school and I was going to follow her. But what ended up happening is she went away to school and did not take me and did not come back every weekend because she's not an idiot. yeah. So we broke up, and then we really did become one of those couples like Ross and Rachel and Lucy and Desi and Romeo and Juliet. And it broke me. Like I was broken. I lost who I was because I had been part of Dan and Jenny, and now I was just Dan, and I didn't love myself. And it was really, really bad. And I don't know if you have those friends who just like complain all the time about something, but I became that friend, and it was like awful because the only thing I ever talked about was her. Like I was obsessed. Like, now if it happened, people would be, like, calling services to come and check on me, right? But it was the 80s, so they were like, ah, that's fine. Rub some dirt on it. You'll be okay. So I did what anybody would do, and I talked to my friends about it all the time. My friends, who, keep in mind, were her friends before they were my friends. And I obsessed about her all the time. And it actually lasted longer than our relationship did. So you can imagine how sick of it they got. I mean, it was all the time, constantly. So eventually they had it, but they stuck by me, right? And they put up with so much more than I would have put up with from them at that time. But they stuck by me. They hung in there, and they really were great. I mean, they were my posse. And they finally got sick of it, and they're like, dude, you got to find somebody else to talk to. So I joined a creative writing class at the community college so that I could force it on strangers just like I'm doing right now, just like this. I just, blah, all over them. Oh, just constantly, right? My world is over because she has left, which I think might have actually been the name of a poem I wrote in that class. It was terrible. It was awful. But eventually, and I do mean eventually, I started to get a little better. It took a long time. And I'd love to tell you that I learned a really valuable lesson from that experience. But the truth is, it had to happen three more times with three different women before I learned the lesson that probably everyone in this room knows, except for maybe Christy early on, but you know it now too, which is you can't be in a relationship with someone who doesn't want to be in one with you. Like, it takes two to tango? That's not just about dancing. That's real. It takes two. So eventually, and you know, it's weird because it's going to be on the radio, and a couple of Jenny will be fine with it, but and Amy, I mean, her part was awesome, except for maybe the hair. But a couple of the women that this happened to after Jenny live in Bloomington, so that'll be awkward. I mean, they don't speak to me, so it's not like I'm worried about it. And I didn't mention them by name, so I think I'm good, but sorry, ladies. I really have grown. So some lessons are just hard to learn. And I didn't want to believe that somebody wouldn't want to be in a relationship with me, even though I just stood up here and made fun of myself for like 10 minutes now. But, you know, so for those of you who are still with me from the beginning, I said I had this epic tale of love to tell you. And I have to think that at least somebody out there is thinking right now, like, his epic tale, the greatest story of all time, is about a girl he dated in high school for a couple of years and she broke up with him? No, that is not the epic tale. The epic tale is about friendship and those guys that stood by me through all that nonsense and put up with everything that I threw at them. And we created a friendship that lasted decades, right? 3 decades ago, I became friends with those guys. And those guys are still around. And we've been through so much. They're closer to me than my own family, right? I mean, I love those guys. And that, to me, that friendship, that's the love that really makes the world go round. And if you're lucky enough, like I heard some stories tonight of people who clearly their romantic partner is also that friend, and that's awesome. But if you're not lucky enough to have that, then you definitely need those friends. And that is my epic story. My greatest love story is those friends, and the way that I made those friends was all because one day I saw a pretty girl walk through the door and got a funny feeling down in my tummy. Thank you.